I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. You know I didn't mean that. I love you. It's fun to have different. It's just fun to have new people that come in that are outside. I love you, Howard. Lunch is on me. We'll make this right. We'll be good. just shoveling. I'm going to start over. Good morning. Welcome to Glendale Christian Church. It's good to be here this morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2. And while you turn there, I'm going to just dig deeper. My sermon title this morning is Jesus. It's kind of like Facebook. And I'll just let you think about that while we turn to Luke chapter 2. Before you call me a heretic and boo me off stage, let me explain what I mean. Jesus is like Facebook. So we're picking up in Luke 2 where Brian left off a couple weeks ago. And if you remember, it was almost a month ago now. So Jesus has just been taken to the temple to do the normal, like traditional temple stuff for a brand new baby. He's just been born. They take him to the temple to go through all the sacrifices and things like that to dedicate him to the Lord. And then a couple really crazy things happen. We're going to pick up in verse 25. And as we read, see if you can figure out how Jesus is anything like Facebook. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed him, and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel. So this is one of those passages that's great on like Christmas Eve, right? We get that chance to say, you know, my eyes have seen your salvation. So this Christmas season, let's take a minute to just like focus on salvation. Like, that's why Jesus came. And Simeon comes in as this devout Jewish man, and he sees Jesus, and he makes this prophecy about how he's going to be a light to the Gentiles and to the Jews. It's going to be this awesome thing. And most of the time, I like stop there, and I focus on my eyes have seen your salvation. It's even in my Bible, it's in like indented stuff. It like stands out. But I rarely read past that. And what I found when I read past it is something that's actually kind of dark. And interesting. So in verse 33, it says, his father and mother, this is talking about Jesus' father and mother, marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's not like, it's a boy, congratulations. I think that's pretty dark. This is going to be the fall and rising of many in Israel. This is going to be a sword that pierces your own soul. And as I was reading the commentaries, like most people, like we don't really know what that means. But they're guessing that it either means that Mary is going to be like devastated watching her son be rejected by the world. That's one option. The other is that Mary's going to struggle herself accepting Jesus as the Christ. And there's going to be something revealed in her own heart as Jesus comes. And so what I've noticed as I've studied the gospel, I've studied this section, and I see Jesus, and the more time I spend on Facebook, I see similarities. And here's the first similarity. You've seen, like, when there's something on Facebook, there's usually comments below, right? Are the comments normally positive or negative? In my experience, they're almost always negative. You read the comment section under a slightly controversial article, and it's just people airing out how much they hated it. But there's also this like and share button on either side of the comments. And so if you see something on Facebook and you like it, you're like, sweet, I like it. That was kind of cool. Click like, and that adds a little like on their thing. And if you really like it, you share it with somebody. You're like, oh, Brian would love this. I'm going to send this to Brian. But if you don't like it, you write why you don't like it. And it's the comment section, right? And so what Facebook does is it reveals our hearts on some of these issues. And you know it's true. You have friends that you didn't really know until you became Facebook friends and you saw what they like and they comment on Facebook and you're like, oh, that's who you're about. Like, that's what you're about. Like, Facebook reveals our hearts, and it says that Jesus was going to do the same thing. It says he was going to be the rise and the fall of people in Israel. That Jesus was going to come and he was going to separate everybody into those that believe in him and those that don't believe in him. There's no longer this gray area of people when Jesus comes. He comes and says, okay, there's going to be this group of people that believe in me, there's going to be this group of people that don't. And that's what the gospel does. It reveals in our hearts what's actually going on. I was reading an article this week talking about high school kids getting ready to go to college. And it's talking about the biggest problem in youth ministry is we've got all these youth group kids that grow up in youth ministry, and they go to college, and they quit going to church, and they kind of go party and whatever they do in college. And the article was basically saying college does not change people's hearts. It reveals them. You can kind of hide behind it in high school. But once you get to college and you're making your own decisions, your heart gets revealed. And so the article was arguing that if we don't work with kids in high school to actually develop their heart, they're going to get to college and it's going to be revealed for what it actually is. And I think that's what Jesus does. Like, his gospel comes and it hits us, and it reveals our heart for what it truly is. It separates us out. The cool thing is what happens next. In verse 39, I'm sorry, I'm looking in the wrong spot. Verse 36, there was a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. This is like probably the only time we have mention of this woman anywhere. We don't really know who she is or what she's doing, other than she's very devout, she's a prophetess, she's in the temple all the time. And so this woman comes up, and what she does kind of blows me away. The widow, verse 38, coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So what happens is Simeon comes and he's like, hey, this Jesus, this Christ is going to separate people out. He's going to make people rise or fall in Israel and throughout the world. People are either going to believe in him or they're not going to believe in him. And then this woman comes, she sees him, she starts worshiping, she clicks the like button, and then she clicks the share button because she's really excited about it. She goes and tells people about it. I know this analogy is really lame, but go with me. Go with me. The proper response to the gospel is first worship and then go. The proper response to Jesus being born is to like and then share. And I think that the church in America is usually pretty good at hitting that like button and then leaving it at that. But yeah, we like Jesus. That's cool. And we move on to the next thing in the feed. Yeah, I like Jesus. Like, you know, I've got the sticker on my car. But we leave it at that. And we don't go the extra mile to share. Like, I don't know about you. I don't share stuff that I don't really like. Right? And so I think what's happened is Christianity is hiding behind that like button. They're hiding behind this idea that we can just like kind of say, yeah, that's cool, but we're not actually doing anything about it. And I've got a real struggle with that type of Christian. And here's my struggle. I cannot imagine how the God of the universe, that is bigger than anything we can imagine, that's more powerful than anything we can imagine, I can't imagine how you can come into contact with that and not want to tell somebody. And so as Christians, I think it's our challenge to be like this prophetess. It says immediately she came, she worshipped, and she started telling everybody. And I think if we really took seriously what we say we believe on Sunday morning, we would be telling everybody. We would be going. We would be preaching. I think it's awesome how this worked out that I got to preach from this passage while we have a missionary music group coming that is taking the plunge to go to share with everyone they come into contact with. What an awesome example of the right way to respond to the gospel and what we'll see next week when Brian talks is not the right way to respond to the gospel. And it's actually, oddly enough, Mary and Joseph that kind of struggle with how do we take the fact that this guy just made a prophecy about our son and how do we live that in our daily life. And they lose their son at the temple and get it's a mess. But Brian will talk more about that next week. What I want to leave you with this morning is that we have an opportunity when we get confronted with the gospel, when we confronted with Christ. Do we just like it, or do we share? Or do we write a nasty comment underneath? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you for this passage in Luke, and the example of the prophetess Anna. God, I pray that we would learn from her, that we would grow to be more like her, someone that was devout, that was constantly in the temple worshiping and praying and speaking with other people. It says day and night she was at the temple and was devout and worshiping. And when she comes into contact with Christ, she's overwhelmed with joy. And she worships and then she immediately shares with everyone she can find. And God, I pray that we would be that passionate. I pray that we would be moved by your gospel to go and to share, whether that's close at home, whether that's with our waitress at lunch after the service, or whether that's overseas. God, I pray that we would not simply just like your gospel, but that we would move further and share it. In your name we pray. Amen.